Welcome to the Bethany Hour. Stay tuned as we look into the book of Acts.
I can see your face in the constellation.
This edition of the Bethany Hour. Thank you for joining with us as we look to Scripture for help and direction as we follow Jesus Christ. Pastor Adams will return in just a moment. Bethany Assembly of God is located in Agawam, Massachusetts, at the corner of Main Street and Route 57. Our Sunday services are at 9 a.m. for our traditional service and 11 a.m. for our contemporary service. Our midweek service on Wednesday includes programs and services for all age groups. Log on to our website at bethany-ag.org for more information about these and other services.
Welcome to the Bethany Hour. Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed once again in this beautiful December cold day. It's snowing and it's cold.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Yeah. They don't pay us to sing, do they?
No, they don't. They don't. It's a good thing they don't. We're actually looking in the book of Acts. Those of you that have been following along, we're in Acts, and we're in verse number 14 of chapter 2. And this is a story where Peter's going to explain about the coming of the Holy Spirit. And what happened was, is the Spirit falls, and all of a sudden, people are not sure what happened. And in verse number 14, Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed address the crowd. Now, back then, they didn't have microphones.
They didn't have speakers. They didn't have amplifiers. None of that.
You really had to project your voice.
Right.
And there's quite a class on projecting your voice. And yeah. I think there's something to be said about people that raise their voice and are able to speak to a crowd.
Yeah. I remember in high school drama, they said, your voice needs to hit the back of the auditorium and bounce back at you so you can hear it bouncing back at you.
That's a lot of voice.
That's a lot of voice.
So here he is speaking to a crowd and he says, fellow Jews. Now that's an important point because he is saying, look, I'm a Jew too. I want you to hear this. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, because there were a lot of people at this particular time that were not living in Jerusalem. They were from outside. And so Peter's trying to point to those that are actually living in the city. Let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. Now, that's pretty interesting because he says, first I'm going to explain, and then he says, I want you to listen. Now, sometimes when you say something to somebody, they don't listen.
They're not listening. They're already two sentences ahead of you, already formulating their response to the first three words that you said, not listening.
They don't care about an explanation. All they care about is what they're going to say back
exactly.
to you.
Exactly. All they're worried about is what you hear from them. You listen to me. You tell me to listen to you. You listen to me.
That's so many people are like that.
Yeah.
It's funny when you get in a conversation like that because it quickly switches and they didn't hear a word you said and they just start chatting away.
I think James said, be quick to listen, slow to speak. But we're quick to speak and slow to listen.
Something about one mouth and two ears, about that, to listen twice as much as you speak.
Uh-huh.
Doesn't really happen too much anyway, but he does say, I want you to listen. I'm going to explain something to you. And he says, these men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. So in other words, whatever happened, they heard these people speaking in many different languages, and they thought, man, these guys are all tipping the bottle early in the morning.
Right. 9 o'clock, they hear this commotion. Something supernatural has happened. We obviously recognize that in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. A supernatural outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Jesus promised the Holy Spirit would come and dwell within believers, in those who he had chosen, the 120 or so that were devoted to him. And when that Holy Spirit came and baptized them, filled them, it was expressed in these languages that they spoke, that the Holy Spirit gave them the words to say. They didn't know it, and it was something really dramatic. And these, you know, people were making fun of them. Hey, these guys are drunk. And Peter's like, it's 9 in the morning. We're not drunk. Come on.
You have to wonder, though, because this is one of the very religious times of the year, and they come together from all over the world to come here. So it is a big, could be considered a big party. They
must
probably were drinking a little heavy at this particular time. You know, you wouldn't think they would because it's a religious ceremony, but they're coming in from all over the world, and they're coming. And so it's kind of a celebration time. So they might have thought that some of these guys got a little bit carried away here, kind of like at the Super Bowl party or something.
Exactly.
You know? And so they says, these guys must be drunk. And Peter says, no, listen, let me explain this to you.
Right.
They're not drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Come on, guys.
Yeah.
Smarten up. It's not evening. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. So, bingo, right back to the scriptures, right back to the Old Testament, right back to this prophetic word spoken by Joel the prophet.
I love it. Jesus promises it, and Joel had prophesied it. So
way before.
You know, it's just an amazing fulfillment of the scriptures that they had known, that the priests and the prophets and, you know, the religious leaders knew the Old Testament and the prophets, the law and the prophets. And so this isn't a verse that, you know, just they didn't understand. And here, Peter is going to explain it to them. I just love how, you know, that word that he uses, let me tell you, and I'm going to use this scripture to back up what just happened. This is a great moment in biblical time.
It is, because it's a powerful message, because what it is, like you mentioned, it's not something it's made up. It's something that was prophetically spoken about, and now you're seeing it in action. God says, this is what's going to happen, and look, here it is. It's happening.
Yeah.
And he says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. And he says, your sons and your daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. So he's quoting exactly what is said in the book of Joel here, and he's saying that this is what's happening here. And he says, even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. So he's talking about the spirit being poured out, and that's what they're hearing. They're hearing the spirit speaking through these people in languages that they understood, which is truly a miracle in the first place, and let alone they hear this commotion, and they say, how can I understand what is happening? Because they're speaking in my language, and what's going on with this?
It's so remarkable. Hundreds of years prior to this moment, Joel, moved along by the same Holy Spirit who had just filled these believers, had Joel write down these words. He says, you know, there's coming a day in the last days, I'm going to pour out my spirit on all people, not just the Jews, not just the Gentiles, not just one particular group of people or whatever, on all people. So it's universal. Sons and daughters, doesn't matter gender, male, female, sons, daughters, young men, young people, servants, doesn't matter your station in life, your none of that, because the Holy Spirit brings everything into unity and into one.
Yeah, and the amazing thing to me here is that these people began to understand them speaking in this other language. So there was an understanding that was brought by the Spirit to them, even though it was in the natural language that these people from other parts of the world understood. It almost is like that in the end of time, when we're looking at the end of time now, even though they were talking about this is a first outpouring, and we know that there's a second outpouring, it's almost as like there's going to come an understanding, you know, and not necessarily even are you going to speak the same languages. Maybe you will. Right. Maybe the gospel is going to be in every language there is, because we're working on that now. Yeah. But there's going to be an understanding that is going to come from the Holy Spirit for the end of times. There will come an understanding. Now, not everybody's going to get that understanding, because some people are going to think, well, you're drunk, you're foolish, you're crazy. Yeah. But other people will say, hey, this got to be, I understand now what was happening, what these were saying. So there's an understanding coming. There's prophetic words that I'll understand. And he says, I'm going to even show you wonders in the heavens above, signs on the earth below, blood, fire, billows of smoke. Sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, what's happening in the earth today? I mean, I just have to look, and I'm looking around, and I know there's always been tragedy and all kinds of different things in our climate, but there are certain things that are happening now that are crazy. The fires in California, the earthquakes, the typhoons or the hurricanes, everything that's coming, and it's all a sign of a trembling of the earth.
There's bloodshed all over the world.
Everywhere.
There's fire. There's just ravaging countrysides. There's billows of smoke from various events, various things happening. We've, you know, obviously we see the eclipses and various things and the blood moons, and there's so much information about that. And they are signs pointing to that coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. Jesus promised that he would come back for us. He said, I have to go to the Father, but I will come back. And here, once again, Joel prophesying hundreds of years before Jesus ever was born, saying that Jesus was coming back. So once again, that prophetic word is coming to us, and Peter is explaining it here and using it as an encouragement to us that these words are meant to put a fire in our bellies to say, man, I can't wait for the day for the Lord to come back.
And the Jewish people were looking for the Messiah, and they missed him, but he says, look, he's coming again.
He's coming again.
You get a second chance.
He's the God of second chances.
Yeah. And then he says, the last word he says, of course, is everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That is probably one of the most powerful scriptures, because all you have to do is simply ask, call on his name, and you can get saved. Now, that's pretty amazing when you think about it. It's not a long, difficult way. It's not a hard task.
Nope.
It's just a matter of repenting and returning to the Lord and saying, I need you.
Yeah, recognizing Jesus for who he is, for what he's done, that he paid the penalty for your sins, and then calling on him, just saying, Jesus, save me. Jesus, save me and deliver me, heal me, do what only you can do. And he says, and you will be saved.
Yeah, well, amazing thing is most people don't think they need to be saved.
Yeah, that's the problem.
That's one of the problems. And who I don't know who said it, but he says, before somebody can be saved, they have to know that they're lost,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And that's the problem. So what's going to happen is you're going to go to the MGM theater. When the MGM opens up, you're going to go there thinking you're going to make $1 million. You're going to lose your shirt, and all of a sudden you're going to be out on the street, and you're going to have nothing left, right, and you're going to realize you need a Savior.
Amen.
You're going to call upon the Lord.
That's it.
And MGM is not going to save you.
No, they're going to the bank with your money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was just a plug for MGM. But we do hope MGM has something good for the community, that they'll do some goods for the community, even though it may be challenging.
Oh, I'm. We don't get any money from them, just letting you know. So,
right.
Yeah.
Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourself know. People then knew the miracles that Jesus did.
Yeah, he brings, so here's this event, this supernatural event, and he points it right back to Jesus. Right, you know, if you look in Scripture, everything kind of points back to Jesus, so you better have a good understanding of who Jesus is.
It does. And when you look at the gospel writers, oftentimes they tell you about the different miracles that Jesus did.
Right.
John mentions 7 miracles that Jesus did, and the miracles that Jesus did in just John's book alone really point to events in life that are impossible for people to do. Mm. They're miracles. They're really miracles.
Yeah, walking water, raising dead people.
You can't do stuff like that.
Feeding thousands of people. Yeah.
Yeah, they're just things that man cannot do. And they were miracles that pointed out the fact that who can do these kinds of things but God?
Right.
Nobody could do these things. It's impossible.
And it affirmed that Jesus, a man, humanity, was also God.
Yeah. And so here he again points to him that this man was accredited by God with all these miracles. He couldn't have done these miracles on his own power.
Yeah.
So he's accredited. He did these wonders. And he says, you know this. And he says, he was handed over to you by God.
Yeah. And God had this purpose, this plan that only Jesus could fulfill. And so Jesus, the Son of God, the one who existed with God before time began, became flesh. And he allowed himself to be handed over by the Jews to the Romans and be nailed to that cross.
And he says, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. Well, there it is, the cross. You're not going to get away from the cross.
You're not. That symbol that has become such a wonderful symbolic element to the church was a symbol of horror in Roman times. You know, if you saw a cross, you knew that a crucifixion and somebody was about to get killed very brutally. But for us today, that cross means salvation for us.
Yeah, the Romans used that cross, and they did it very publicly so that people would fear the Romans. They used fear, and the cross was a sign of death and real pain.
Yeah.
And so there he was. He hung on the cross and died on the cross. And then it says God raised him from the dead. Now that's just beyond anything anybody could understand. Back then, for sure, even today, there's no one who's ever risen from the dead.
Yeah. 7 words. I just counted them, 7 words, but God raised him from the dead. 7 words.
Perfect number.
That make all the difference in life. His death and his resurrection make all the difference in your life and in my life and in the life of every human being. Because one day, all of humanity will stand before God and give an account for their life. And if those that believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and have called on the name of the Lord and have been saved, they're going to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. But others who have rejected the fact that God raised Jesus from the dead, they will hear, depart from me, I never knew you.
Yeah. And it says that freeing him, talking about Jesus, from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Now, you just think about that for just one moment.
Wow.
You think about everyone that you know and everyone that's gone before you. Death has always been able to hold them.
Yeah, Yeah.
No one has ever escaped from death.
Yeah.
Ever. Never.
All of the funerals I've done as a minister,
ever escaped.
All of those bodies are still in the ground or cremated somewhere. Death has a grip on them right now.
Right. Can't get away from it.
Wow.
And that death has a grip on all of mankind, except death could not hold Christ.
Now,
because death could not hold him, then we who have died in him will also be raised like he was raised. So the thing is to be in Christ Jesus, because if you're in Christ, death can't hold you.
Yeah. I go back to when Lazarus was in the tomb and Jesus was talking with his sister Martha, and Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this?" He asked her, "Do you believe that I am life for those who are dead?" He'd been in the tomb for 4 days. And he said, "I am that power that can raise him from the dead." And right here, it's impossible for death to hold on to Jesus. Why? Because he is resurrection power. He is life from death. That's good stuff. That'll preach.
It is. That'll preach. I always loved the evangelist. I don't know where I heard it. It must have been an old-time evangelist that always said, "Do you know why Jesus yelled out, 'Lazarus, come forth from the dead?'" He says, if he didn't say Lazarus, he says every dead body in that place would have come out.
He had to name him.
Otherwise, because Jesus could set them all
come
free.
Come forth, and everybody would have
come out of there. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a powerful
force.
And
that's true, because one day that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
The resurrection of those who have died in Christ will happen one day, and tombs are going to release. Death will release its grip because Jesus, the resurrection, is going to call forth those who believe in him.
So we have told you and we have read on how there was a prophetic word that the Holy Spirit is going to be poured out upon all flesh. It was prophesied well before it happened, and then it happened. And now we're telling you that Jesus Christ is going, he is risen from the dead, and that he is going to help all of us rise from the dead one day too.
Amen.
That also is going to happen.
Amen.
And so this is Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed. You better put your hopes and your trust in the Lord Jesus, because that's the only place that it's going to find fulfillment.
Amen.
Hey, have a great day. God bless.